So this morning, I want to talk about our heart. As we continue in our series called Living Wisely, Uncommon Sense in a Foolish World. Isn't it true? We are in a foolish, foolish world. And, you know, because we have a foolish world, we can have this horizontal mindset that I talked about last week, this human wisdom, and humans... I am so amped up. I gotta, and I stupidly drank another latte. Okay, so forgive my stuttering and messing around. Okay, so we're in this human wisdom doesn't always match God, does it? In fact, very seldom does it match God. And so we call that horizontal. Vertical is God's wisdom, and that's why we're in the Proverbs, because the Proverbs gives us vertical truth, and that's what we want to live by. And without realizing it, we begin to adopt these unwise responses. Life gets normal, whatever that is, right? We talked about that last week, because everybody's normal is different than everybody else's. God's normal is the same, but ours isn't. And so these things that we hear begin to feel like the truth. You know, if you hear it anything enough times... it pretty soon sounds like truth, right? I mean, even in politics today, that's pretty typically the way they do it. They keep saying the same thing over and over and over, or you hear other people saying it over and over. Pretty soon, it's like, well, yeah, that's kind of true. It becomes truth, and when it isn't truth at all. And so we realize we're adopting unwise responses to our life issues, thinking themselves to be wise, and without understanding God's vertical mindset, we are prey to the horizontal. So today in Proverbs, we're going to ponder the heart condition. And so let's see how Solomon handles some. I just only have some. Man, I was hoping that would fit, and it did. I'm going to read the black and you're going to read the blue, but I'm going to read along with you because some of them are a little bit longer, some are shorter. A heart of wicked plans that God... Now, before we read this, in the Proverbs it says there are six things that God hates. Yes, seven. Okay, and this is one of them. Let's read it together. A heart that devises... Okay. Now, I don't know what it is this morning, but everybody that's come in goes, oh, I don't know, I kind of feel funny. Do you feel that way? Well, stop it. Okay? You're here. We're going to respond. We're going to learn together. Amen? Okay. All right. A heart that devises wicked plans. Really?
Do you need... We didn't know if you were starting.
Oh, okay. Okay. So let me start over. A heart of wicked plans that God hates,
devises
wicked plans. Okay. A heart of sensuality in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and there a woman meets him with an attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Crafty heart. Yeah. Very interesting. Very seldom is it what it seems to be. A heart of deception. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. But counselors of peace have what?
Joy.
Joy. Joy. Yeah. I thought that was a very interesting statement. A heart of bitterness. The heart knows its bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Boy, isn't that the truth? When you're around bitter people, you really don't quite enjoy them much. Okay. A heart of happiness. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. That's interesting. A heart of pride. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Yeah. We can get pretty arrogant, can't we? A heart of rage. The foolish of man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. You know, that's interesting because, you know, a lot of times in counseling, I will say, well, do you think you're mad at God? angry at God and everybody, what's the answer?
No.
No. Well, that's not what that says, huh? Yeah. A heart of envy. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Amen to that, huh? All right. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the heart, but especially in Proverbs. These are just a few. There's like almost 100 verses in Proverbs that talk about the heart. So I want to talk about the physical heart, first of all, because I think when we talk about the physical heart, we can make kind of a transition to spiritual, the parallel to that. Heart disease is the number one killer of men and women in America. I think we kind of know that. At my father-in-law's memorial service, a pastor friend traveled from Michigan to here. His name is John Spooner. And maybe 3 or 4 months earlier, probably, his daughter, they all come from Alaska. He's in Michigan as a pastor. But his daughter had a heart attack and dropped over dead with 5 kids and a husband, 29 years old. And so he came in, and he was still kind of having a hard time, and I was talking to him, and we were talking about that situation. But if that isn't enough, he says, Steve, and I went to school with him back in Michigan. He says, Steve, I've got heart issues, and my heart is down to 33%, and they don't know what to do. And he said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week or next year. Because he said, they can't seem to find out what the issue is. And so on Memorial Weekend, he's resigning his pastorate because he just can't do it anymore. And I look at that and I think, man, he's 62 years old. And he doesn't know if he's going to be around next year. It's all around us, isn't it? You hear about heart issues and probably someone you know. I know 5 or 6 people that have heart issues, minimum. In heart failure is 40% of U.S. deaths. 40%, almost half. And you know what? By the way, it is a greater percentage than all of cancer, every form, every style put together. It's greater than that. And so why is heart disease so deadly? Well, one clear reason is that we don't take care of our heart. In the way we eat or rest or exercise. And a lot of us could be prone to heart disease. Some know it, some don't. But in my research, it's even a clearer reason that most people are slow or negligent to seek help when symptoms arise. Heart symptoms aren't always intense or obvious, and they vary from person to person. And intense symptoms so many times can be ignored, right? No, this couldn't be a heart attack. And on the other hand, many times it's not your heart at all. It's something else. In fact, I just got to tell you this story. Not years ago, but well, quite a few years ago, I guess. I had a really wild scare. I had this intense heartburn and chest pain, and I was kind of getting scary, and I was sitting next to Deb, and I was moving around, and finally Deb says, what are you wiggling around so much for, you know? And I said, well, I've just got this heartburn. She said, why don't you go take some Tums or something? Well, I didn't tell her how hard it was, and so I got up, and I took a couple Tums, and sat back down, and about 10 minutes into it, it was not helping at all, and I was feeling kind of funny, and so I went upstairs, and she went upstairs, and I laid down on the bed, and I just laid there for a while, and I thought, you know, I need to take my blood pressure, and so we got the blood pressure cuff, and we took it, and it was 200 over 100. Yeah, now for you who have heart issues, that's pretty wild, isn't it? 200 over 100, and then that kind of scared me more. And I thought, no, I got to calm down. And so I decided to, well, I took my blood pressure, my prayer life quickly came to life. You know what I'm talking about? You know, and so as I lay down on the bed, and Debbie started looking up symptoms, and then she called a nurse, and the nurse said, well, explain to me what's happening to Steve. And so she explained it, and the nurse said, oh, that's not a heart attack. He's got bad heartburn. And I thought, wait a minute, 200/100? Except my heart wasn't beating that fast, other than my fear. So I took my blood pressure again. The Tums kicked in. All of a sudden, the heartburn went away. I took it again, back to normal. The nurse was right. She knew what she was talking about. So dealing with the nurse's wisdom calmed our panic. Because my wisdom seemed right, but it was not right. And I look back on those symptoms. Heartburn, well, that's a sign, isn't it? Don't they say a lot of times you get heartburn when you're having a heart attack? In high blood pressure, oh, another sign. And so we sought the advice from someone who knows medical wisdom, got it. And the medical advice to me was lay down and wait. Boy, that's the opposite of me. Lay down and wait. Let the Tums kick in. And because I was describing the symptoms, it wasn't a heart attack scenario. It was simply post-Mexican food, hot chili, heartburn. Now I'm talking the physical and you get it, but boy, isn't there a spiritual parallel to that. When you stop to think about it, many hearts are troubled without God's advice and wisdom. Listening to hearsay, the world's horizontal thinking, but not to God's vertical thinking. And we may get distressed over temptations or desires or things entering our hearts, sounding so tempting. Like, this will answer all my issues, right? Have you ever felt that way? Man, if I just do this, it will answer all my issues. And what happens? It doesn't answer a single issue. Worry and fretting. Maybe we've lost a job or we've lost a friendship or a relationship. Maybe we don't have enough money to make it through the month. Or not knowing which decision to make or what to do in our lives. And like my heartburn, a couple Tums did the trick. And paying attention to God's vertical wisdom, we gain peace. You remember that verse about the people that give peace feel joy. What is God's wisdom in all this? Well, I just have only a couple verses that I really want to read on the heart. Here's the first one in Proverbs 2, 10 and 11. When wisdom enters the heart and knowledge is attractive to the soul. Now, have you ever felt that way? At certain times you're reading and it's very attractive to your soul? Okay, that's what he's saying. When wisdom enters the heart and knowledge is attractive to the soul, discretion. And that by discretion, he means the ability to know the best course of action for whatever your goal is. Discretion will preserve, it will watch over you. Understanding will keep or guard you. Now, we all want to make mature decisions. Well, here's God's advice. Here's the vertical. Learn and listen and have an open heart to vertical wisdom. Meditate on it and let it enter your heart. Let it be attractive to you. Rather than resistant to you. How does it guard us? Let me give an example. When we worry or we're anxious, God's wisdom is in the Proverbs. Here's verse 25 of Proverbs 12. Anxiety, literally anxious fear, is the way God describes it. Anxious fear in the heart of man causes what? Depression. Now, depression means a lowering of the head and shoulders. That's what the Hebrew actually means, a lowering of the head. And so anxiety comes to the place where we feel, doesn't it feel like that after a while? You're worn out, you're worried, and you get it. And he says, but a good word makes the heart glad. A good word makes the heart glad. You know, depression is a belief of loss in our, something loss in our life. We have something in our life, maybe confidence or direction or a sense of hopelessness, a sense of, excuse me, a loss of interest, a loss of a person or a relationship, or clearly a loss of control. So it manifests itself in this anxious fear. And anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. But a good word raises the head. An encouraging word. Something producing joy. It brings a sense of balance, objectivity. It brings reality back. How many times have you been depressed and you're way out of reality, right? And pretty soon you talk to somebody and you're going, well, wait a minute, that's not true, and that's not true, and that's not true. Pretty soon you come back to reality. I remember, I don't know why I thought about this, but does anybody know who Roy Rogers is anymore? Oh, okay, we got a few people there, okay. Well, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans used to sing this song, and if you know the song, sing it with me. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. See, you remembered it. Well, the one phrase that he had in there was, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Isn't that? We want a glad word. We want encouragement. And I saw that process in me this week. I was calling into question my leadership, and I've been thinking about it actually for about 2 or 3 weeks. And as I was thinking about it, I began to get discouraged, and I felt like I was just beating the wind with leadership, and my heart was affected, and I got into this horizontal thinking, right? Am I a success? Okay. And maybe more accurately, does God think I'm a success? And it was drawing me in a wrong direction, questioning my life about success, because I think I was asking the wrong question. Because sometimes we do that, don't we? We ask the wrong question. So while reading a book, The Softer Side of Leadership, the author Gene Hackbecker said this: God did not ask us to be successful leaders. He asked us to be faithful leaders. I thought, I'm asking the wrong question. How in the world could I ever define success? Right? I just mentioned not too long ago about a kid in New Mexico who called me and he said, my name's Jose, do you remember me? And I'm thinking, man, I know 100 Jose's, right? And so he said, I was in your discipleship class back in Commerce City, and I remembered, man, he was so unfaithful. He'd only show up every other week. And that kind of, in fact, it was based on him that I have a stronger view of faithfulness. And so I said, well, Jose, it's good to hear from you. And he goes, I just wanted to call you and thank you. He said, I have 3 different Bible studies I'm teaching, and I'm the adult teacher at my church. And he said, I've been preaching and teaching what you taught me. And he said, I just felt burdened to tell you today, thank you for doing that for me. Now, faithful is the right word. Success is the wrong word, right? If we're faithful to God, we're doing what God wants us to do. If we're successful, we can't even define it. People tell me things at times and I think, oh, really? Like, I remember asking this one lady, well, when did you come to Christ? And she said, well, don't you remember it was about 6 months after I was coming to church and you gave the gospel message and I raised my hand? Well, I didn't tell her. I didn't remember. Who could keep track of something like that, you know? But how do you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do in people's lives? I've had some sermons that I think got just past this and fell on the ground. And I'll have somebody call me and say, boy, what you said today meant so much to me. And you think, okay, it's not about success. This week, there was one great one. I had a conversation with a leader that I coach, and we had a short conversation. I was trying to share openly and transparently about myself, and he spent the whole time trying to fix me. Wives, I get it now. Right? Your husbands are always trying to fix you, right? And I was just trying to tell him what was going on in my life, and he was going through this, and I just kind of sat back, listened, and smiled, and got done. I thought, well, okay. And so it actually even caused me to kind of spiral my self-worth. And he texted me a note a little bit later that day and said, and by the way, I didn't mention this, but thank you for the investment you're making in my life. It is producing a harvest. I thought, the words make me glad. Good words make us glad. And so my heart was glad, and I needed to hear that from him. You know, I've been reading this unique book on leadership, as I mentioned earlier, and in the first chapter, he brings home this point about having a sacred place. And it's a place to get away and read and pray without all the hustle and bustle of people and phones and Facebook and Instagram and text messages and emails. Don't you get sick of it all? And it only seems to be adding and adding. But he was talking about just time alone. Alone time to meditate on God's word, to make decisions based on stillness, listening to vertical thinking. And you know, I thought maybe I could give you just kind of a parallel of that. I used to go up to the rec center and swim two or three times a week for exercise. And every time I did, I always wanted to go to the steam room. You know, I'd get into the hot bath and then get into the steam room. And I'd be in there, and the heat would just swell, and it felt so good. And then somebody would open the door. Now, do you know what I'm talking about if you've ever been? And all of a sudden, all the heat goes out, and they're looking, and then they shut the door or come in, and then you wait for a while, and pretty soon you have that solitude and that quiet, and somebody opens the door, and the steam goes out. You know, that's our life, isn't it? When we don't take the time to spend time with God alone, we're opening up the steam room door. And all the steam goes out. And so I want to challenge you this morning, just one thing. And that is, will you give consideration and may even make a commitment to take just some moments alone with God? Just reading a few verses in the Proverbs or whatever you want to do, and spending a little time in prayer, and then start your day and go and see if it doesn't make a difference. Let's pray.